We are going to dismiss kids in just a second. Before they do that, I just want to introduce our speaker for today. Michael O'Neill from First Baptist of Cumming is with us. We've kind of been in this long rebuild process. It's just hasn't been, super quick by any means, but just kind of a slow, steady transition and growth and change. And we've just had a couple people from the outside that have kind of come in and helped us through that process. And Michael has been one of those. Michael and his church. Michael has been a good friend personally. We connect and talk through a lot of different things. Talk through sports a little bit. Got to get that out of the way. But we also talk about, he's passionate about discipleship and mission and reaching other people. So we always have a lot of conversations on that. And just what does the church need to be doing today to be fruitful, to reach people. And every time I talk with him, he's talking about things that they've done in their church where they're seeing people reached, the gospel's being preached. And so just so thankful for them and what they've done. They've helped us some financially over the years. They've helped us with encouragement. They've just always been there. And a lot of times I'll talk to Michael and he's just like, hey, what do you need? What can we do? So just a lot of support. And as I think about us, as we've been through this long, gradual change, you know, isn't that how God works in your life? You know, I just want to be a totally different person tomorrow, but it's just a slow, steady plodding along. But you also need some help as you're in that process, and just having different friends that can come alongside, support you and encourage you and direct you in that, it is so important. And so what they've done for us, I hope that we can do for other churches as we grow, as we reach. I hope that we can come along others and just be there for the long haul, not just be there for a quick, hey, how you doing? Maybe write a check and send them on. We'll do that as well. But I have a heart to just be in relationships with others and encourage them throughout. So very grateful for him. I've just looked for different opportunities to have him come in and speak and talk to our church. It just worked out for him this week. Also this week, I am going to be flying out to California, going to a conference this week, and then get back, and I'm going to be on vacation for a little bit. So just worked out for him this date to come in, and I thought, well, that works great for me to get ready for vacation and other things. So I'm excited about that. So he's going to come up in just a moment. We're going to try something different today. We're going to release the kids now. And we're okay, so kids, you can head to children's ministry now.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thank you, Keith, for the warm welcome, and I'll say this as well. I mean, I just have loved getting to know Keith over the last few years and connecting with him, but also hearing stories about how God is working here, and so encouraging to be here to worship with you all this morning. So thanks for having me, and every time I'm here, whether it's preaching or just worshiping with you all, I'm so encouraged by you all and your faith and just hearing the voices behind me singing. I mean, that's just encouraging to me. So appreciate you all, appreciate your partnership in the gospel. And as Keith said, look forward to just years of relationships, years of mutual encouragement, years of mutual service together so that we can work together. We're better together, right? In making disciples of all nations right here and all around the world. So thank you for having me. Just going to talk a little bit about prayer this morning. I have a my Hudson, my youngest son, turns 13 tomorrow. Well, he just turned 13, but we have his birthday party tomorrow. Okay, so it's really the celebration tomorrow. And I have his birthday list right here that he wrote out. All right, so when he wrote out what he wanted, he wrote out whether it was, because at our house we talk about wants and needs, right? Like, do you really want that or do you really need that? And so he wrote out the list, birthday list, and then he wrote next to it whether it was a want or a need, okay? So you all help me out here and see what you think he wrote, okay? 13-year-old boy, okay. Item number one, a new tennis racket. Need or want? Need. Wow, okay, well, that's what he wrote, yeah? All right, well, tennis bag, a new tennis bag to go with the tennis racket. Need or want? It's a want, I think, but he wrote need. All right. Shorts that fit me. That's a need, isn't it? I mean, I won't argue with that. He wrote need by that. A new Atlanta Braves jersey.
That's debatable.
Yeah, I really think that's a need, you know? But no. He wrote need, but that's really a want. In fact, my I don't know if you can see this blue marker. My other son came along and saw this list, and he just wrote out, that's not a need. You don't need a Braves jersey. That's a want. But as I looked at that list that he wrote, I got to thinking about like my own prayer life, my own prayer list sometimes. It looks like that, where I confuse my wants with my needs. And so, yes, I pray, but it's really more about what I want are my selfish desires, rather than giving attention to my real needs, what I really need from God. And too often, if we're honest, I think that's the case with us. We focus our prayers more on what we want rather than on what we really need. And God never promises to meet all our wants, does he? I mean, he wants to hear from us. We're his children in Christ, and so he wants to hear those desires, but he never promises to meet all our wants, because all our wants, usually they don't match up or align with what we really need or what his will is. But he does promise to meet all our needs, and we are all in need, aren't we? We all need direction in life. We all need healthy relationships. We all need love in a world full of hate. We all need hope in a world full of hurt. We all need encouragement because we become so easily discouraged. We all need grace because we goof up and we mess up and we sin. We all need help. And that help comes from God primarily through prayer. Summer's here. I mean, we're already 2 weeks into the summer, really. We still have a good bit of the summer ahead of us, but what if we all devoted ourselves to prayer this summer? What if we prayed more passionately, more specifically, more intentionally, more purposefully? What if we prayed more about what we need rather than just what we want? What if God actually answers our prayers this summer? What would that look like? Could this summer be the most unforgettable summer for you and your family? Not because you traveled, not because you enjoyed time in the neighborhood pool, not just because you spent time on the lake, not just because you spent some time resting, but what if this summer was the most meaningful, memorable summer of your entire life? Because you saw God work in your life and answer prayers and meet your needs like you've never seen him do before. Could that happen? Yeah, it could. It's possible because Jesus has paved the way for us to be in the presence of God. So let's look at Hebrews 4, a few verses from Hebrews 4, and then we'll talk about some prayer points as well. So Hebrews 4, starting with verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let's pause there for just a minute. Jesus died for you so that you can have access to God. There's no other way to God. There's not another priest. There's not another sin forgiver. There's not another Lord. There's not another Savior. There's not another King who can reconcile you to God. And without a personal relationship with Jesus, you remain separated from God because of your sin. And that's bad news, but the good news is that Jesus, that invitation to everybody, is come follow me. Put your trust in me. And if you've responded to, it's what Keith was talking about here, if you've responded to that invitation, you've surrendered your life to Jesus and you've decided to follow him as your Lord and Savior and King, then you can approach God, you can go to God anytime, not in guilt or shame, but with confidence and with boldness. I have to share, before we go to the next verse, I have to share this from this week. There's a lady in our that I met just recently, just a few weeks ago. Her name's Serbia. And I can't go into all the details, but several of us in our church connected with her. She's from a Hindu background, from India, and has not been here very long. And she's just searching. She's, in the last few weeks, just really searching for hope, for meaning, for purpose in life. And just through a series of conversations, not just with me, but several others in our church, we had Vacation Bible School in our church this week, and she volunteered, not as a lead teacher, but we wanted her to be exposed to the gospel all week. So she was with young kids all week and just serving at Vacation Bible School. And she comes up to me just the other day, and she says, "Michael, I'm ready to follow Jesus." And so she has put her faith in Jesus. She plans to be baptized in just a few months when we have a late baptism. She's already told her family that she has left Hinduism and has put her trust in Jesus and has now a relationship with Jesus. And for her, there's no other priest anymore. There's no other mediator between God and man. It's Jesus for her. It's Jesus for you and me. And he's our hope, right, is what Keith just mentioned. So now, we can approach him because of Jesus. Verse 16, look at this. Let us then, because of what Jesus has done for us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. What's the throne of grace? It's where God is. It's God's presence. Why? Why do we approach this throne of grace? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is on his throne. He rules the world with all power and authority. It also means that he has all the resources that we need to live the life that he has saved us and called us to live. And because of Jesus, we can and we should approach God with boldness and openness because he is a God of grace who is faithful to listen to us, to meet us where we are, and to give us what we need. In my personal worship time yesterday, I came across a powerful quote by Paul David Tripp, who's an author, and he's talking about God's grace. He's actually talking about parenting, but he's applying it to the grace of God working in us as parents. But it's just a picture of who God is and how gracious he is. Listen to this quote. I don't even have it on the screen. I just wrote it down because I came across it yesterday. Listen to this. Grace moves toward that struggling, rebellious, disobeying child with love and tenderness and hope and forgiveness and wisdom and guidance. The most powerful force of transformation in the universe is God's grace. It can do what rules and regulations will never do. And so we find, that's the quote, we find that grace when we draw near to God through prayer. I look at verse 16 again. It says, let us then draw near to the throne of grace. That phrase draw near is actually, it's in the present tense. So what this means is, let us continually draw near. Let us constantly draw near. What this means is that a major part of the Christian life is going to God, drawing near to God, not just once a week, not just every now and then, but on a regular, daily basis, because we are recognizing that we are totally, absolutely dependent on his grace and on his forgiveness and on his strength. You think about this. When I refuse to pray, I'm basically telling God, I'm okay. I don't need you right now. I'll just come to you maybe when something bad happens or when I feel like I need you or when I'm out of strength or power. But that's not what we want, I don't think, right? We want to come to God. We want to draw constantly, continually near to God because He never sleeps. He does not have office hours. He never runs out of time. He never runs out of resources. And so today, this week, this summer, let's go to God in prayer, expecting, because this is praying in faith, right? Expecting that God will give us the grace and the mercy that we need, the help that we all need. All right, so as you draw near to God this summer, what do you pray? What do you say? Where do you go when it comes to what you're praying and how you do this? And how do you make sure that you're drawing near to God on a regular basis? So what I want to give you today, and some of you saw this, you already have it, I guess, a card. But what I want to give you today are 5 prayer points. I know we could talk about 50 prayer points. I understand that, but we don't. I know you don't. I mean, you've got lunch after this. I know you don't want to be here forever. So, in fact, I brought a whole stack of cards in, and John said, "Man, I hope that's not your message. I mean, it's going to be a long message." So, I wanted to give these cards just as a resource for you. But I want to walk through these 5. Prayer points, because these are 5 universal needs that we all have, all right? So prayer point number 1 is pray for wisdom. You need wisdom for decisions. Life is a series of decisions, and you're going to have decisions that you have to make today, tomorrow, this week, this summer. And I don't know what those decisions, some of you are probably wrestling with the decision that you have to make right now in life. That's what life is, a series of decisions. Could be a family decision, a health decision, a money decision, a decision about your future. I don't know what decision you're having to make or what you're going to have to make. But I do know this, that God wants to hear from you. He wants you to cry out to Him for wisdom. This comes from James 1:5. Look at this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. It's not just like He just tosses out a little bit and just wants to hold back some. No, generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Get this, even as I was studying this message, I was reminded, I guess, or maybe I never even thought about this much, but even Jesus prayed for wisdom before He selected or chose His 12 disciples. Look at this, Luke 6:12 and 13. Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. When daylight came, He summoned His disciples and He chose 12 of them. Think about this. Before every major decision or crisis in His life, Jesus prayed. If it's good enough for Jesus, yeah, it's good enough for us. And I don't know how many times I've prayed after I've had to make a major decision or after a crisis came. But prayer should not, no, you know this, prayer should not just be some backup plan, right? Or something that we do when we tried out things our own way and it didn't work out well. No, let's follow Jesus' example this summer. And let's go to God in prayer, praying for the wisdom that we need for the decisions that we are going to have to make, because we are going to have to make decisions. That's prayer point number 1. Prayer point number 2, pray for power. You need power for living. I mean, life is, I mean, maybe it's not for you, but life is just hectic, stressful, crazy, busy, hard. I mean, I could go on and on, and I mean, it just is. And it can suck the energy and strength out of you. So some questions that I can ask you even this morning: are you tired? Are you worn out? Do you feel like you're drifting in life without meaning or purpose? Are you lacking the strength that you feel like you need to persevere through whatever you're going through? And the good news is, God doesn't want us to depend on our own strength or our own power to live the life that he wants us to live. He actually wants us to come to him for to refuel, to refill. And it doesn't cost $5 a gallon to refill our spiritual tank. Aren't you glad? Can I get an amen on that? All you have to do, and it seems so simple, but all you have to do is ask him. I saw somebody have like a Charles Spurgeon study Bible this morning. Spurgeon said that the rule of the kingdom is to ask. It's just asking. Look at this promise. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Luke 11:13. Jesus said this, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So simple, right? For Hudson, my youngest son's birthday, Carrie and I, my wife and I, we don't want, he asked for a tennis racket. We don't want to give him a can of spinach. Like, it doesn't even make sense, right? We love him, and we really do want to give him, not everything on his list, but we do want to give him some of what he's asking for because we're his parents, and we want him to have good gifts from his parents. And Carrie and I are evil, sinful human beings. And that's what Jesus is saying here. How much more your perfect heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to your children, the ultimate good gift, the power, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This summer, I hate to say it, but there are going to be moments of stress, moments of weakness, moments of anxiety, moments of weariness. All you have to do is ask God to give you the power of the Spirit that you need. And you need it. I need it. We all need it. Power for living. That's number two. Number three, prayer point number three, pray for peace. You need peace in your circumstances. In this broken world, we continue to see injustice and racism and war and division. And in this broken world, we continue to see sickness and hurt and pain and death. How do you have peace in the midst of life's difficult circumstances? You pray. You pray for that peace. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's so simple, isn't it? Why is that so hard for us? Or for me, anyway. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Through prayer, you can have the inward peace that you need in all your circumstances and in a world full of chaos. I don't know what challenges you're going to face this summer, what the summer will bring you, but whatever you do, pray. Pray for peace because you need peace in life's circumstances. Prayer point number four, pray for boldness. You need boldness for witness. Most of us know that we're supposed to be witnesses for Jesus. We know this. We know we should share the hope of Jesus with those who do not yet know that hope, who do not yet follow Jesus. But for most of us, for probably 99% of us, our natural tendency is to keep our mouth shut. I love to attend church. I love worshiping with you all this morning, taking communion with you all this morning. I love singing the songs. I mean, powerful, good stuff, Dan. I mean, just great lyrics. Love it. Love serving. Love studying the Bible on a daily basis. Love praying. But there's something that's just, for me anyway, it's just uncomfortable. It's frightening in many ways to open up my mouth and talk to others about Jesus. What we need is supernatural help that will enable us to speak boldly for Jesus, because it just doesn't come natural. The early church knew this. It didn't come natural for them. They recognized this, and so they prayed for boldness. Acts 4:31 says this, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken." When was the last time you were praying with a group of people and the building or the place where you're praying shook? Anybody? I've never, and I've prayed in LA and I've prayed in San Francisco. Nothing. What's Luke talking about here? Why was the place shaken? Because God was there. God was working. God was answering. And then look what happened. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That even goes back to Luke 11:13, doesn't it? And spoke the word of God boldly. If you are a follower of Christ, you are sent out as a witness this summer, and fall, and winter, and spring. But this summer, in the home, in the neighborhood, in the workplace, on the lake, on the ball fields, wherever you go, you're called, you're sent out to be a witness, but you need supernatural boldness. And that comes from God through prayer. Pray for that personally, but I would encourage you, find some people. Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed. During COVID, you realized this too, I know, that you felt like you didn't know what to do, especially early on. I closed the church down here, remember? I mean, I prayed on March 8th, 2020 here. And that was it. So hopefully you get to meet next week. COVID reminded or taught us that we need to pray. I mean, there were especially those first few months, we're like, I don't know what to do. I can't be around anybody. I can't do anything. I mean, I'm doing these Zoom calls, but what can I do? What can I do? I can pray. And as the months went on, we could get out of our house a little bit. We began, just some of us, group of us, didn't wasn't very many, but we just began taking prayer walks in neighborhoods. Couldn't talk to people much, you know, unless they were out and they were open to talking. But we just didn't know what else to do. But what a great thing to do. And as we began praying, we did have more conversations as things began to open up. More and more of those conversations happened. And so just find some people. Pray together. Pray on mission. Pray in your neighborhood. Find some people. Go to some other neighborhoods. Pray. And ask God to help you speak the word of God boldly. Prayer point number 5. Pray for forgiveness. You need forgiveness from sin. As Pastor Keith just talked about it, it is like taking out the trash. There's always trash to be taken out. And so we constantly need forgiveness. Perhaps the most frustrating part of the Christian life is that we still sin. Drives me crazy. I hate it. And I know you do too. There are times when we're impatient, prideful, angry, and there are times when we don't love God like we should. We don't treat others like we should. So when you sin, you have two choices, right? You can wallow around in that sin, and what that does is it hinders your fellowship with God and with others. I've tried that. It's not a great option, but that is an option, and many people do it. The other option is to actually repent, actually turn from that sin, confess that sin, accept and embrace God's forgiveness so that your relationship, your fellowship with God is restored and your relationship with others restored. Option one will drown you spiritually. Option two will develop you spiritually. There's a great promise in 1 John. Look at this. And let's read this out loud together, okay? Everybody, let's read this out loud together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What a great promise. If you confess your sins this summer, and you will sin this summer, God will be faithful to forgive you. So go confidently to Him. Draw near continually to the throne of grace so that you can find that grace, that forgiveness that you need. I told you about these cards. So these are the five prayer points. I do encourage you, just take, I've got mine's in my car, but put it in your bathroom mirror, put it wherever is helpful, kitchen, but just, you don't have to use it, but just as, if you're like me, I need a guide, I need something to follow. And so feel free to use that. There are probably some extras that you can share with others as well. Let me close with this. Picture it. New York City, 1857. America was in turmoil. Racism was rampant. A civil war was just a few years away. There was political unrest. There was economic uncertainty. There was religious skepticism. Any of this sound familiar? There was a man in New York City, in Lower Manhattan, named Jeremiah Lamphere. He saw the brokenness, the hopelessness around him, and he really didn't know what to do. But he did decide, hey, let's pray. So he made up this flyer, started passing out thousands of flyers in the Lower Manhattan area of New York City. He said, join me for prayer at noon on September 23rd, 1857. So he shows up at noon by himself. Nobody shows up. 12:15, still nobody. 12:30 comes, one person walks in, doesn't say anything to Jeremiah, just comes beside him and prays. By the end of the hour at 1 o'clock, there were six people praying together. They decided to continue having these prayer meetings. The next week, there were 40. Then by the end of the month, 100 people praying together. By March, 8 months later, March of 1858, there were 10,000 people in different parts of New York City holding prayer meetings. As you can imagine, non-Christians were beginning to pay attention. New York Times, you can look it up, New York Times writing articles about what was happening in New York City at that time. As non-Christians began paying attention to this move of God, they started to ask questions about this. Like, what's happening here? Who is this God you're praying to? And we want to be a part of this. And history records that 20,000 baptized every week across America over the next year. History books record that around 1 million Americans became followers of Jesus over the next year through 1858 as a result of this prayer movement. And let's say they're off by a few thousand. I mean, you're talking about a lot of people. And remember, there are only 30 million people in America at that time. So think about this. If a prayer movement happened like that today, you're talking about over 10 million Americans becoming followers of Jesus over the next year. Can God do that again? Yes. In 1857, God did a great work through one man who was committed to pray. And in 2022, God can do an amazing work. Same God, the God of 1857, the same God of 2022. He can do an amazing work again through his people who are committed to pray. So instead of me just closing like I normally do when I preach, I usually just close in a prayer and we're done and we move on. I just want to invite the worship team up, whoever you want to come up, Dan, and I just want to spend some moments in prayer. You can follow these five prayer points and pray through them personally. You can pray whatever God's leading you to pray, however God's leading you to pray. You can pray at your chair. You can come up front and kneel down and pray. You can kneel down at your chair. You can pray with a group of people around you. It doesn't matter. Let's just commit the next few moments to just spending time in the presence of the Lord praying. And we know. As we draw near to the throne of grace, that he hears us and that he finds us as his children desperately depending on him, and he gets the glory in knowing that we're crying out to him. So let's just pray, and then I'll come up and close us in just a few moments. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, a great high priest. Who understands our weaknesses. We thank you for his death and resurrection. So that we can spend time in your presence and enjoy your presence and acknowledge our dependence on you. God, we cry out to you for wisdom, power, peace, boldness, forgiveness, trusting that you will meet those needs that we have. Thank you for being a God of grace, giving us what we don't deserve. Thank you for being a God who listens to us and answers us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.